He remembered that when his grandfather said that, he felt resentment that anyone should speak against that figure in the buckskin shirt, the yellow curls blowing, that stood on that hill holding a service revolver as the Sioux closed in around him in the old Anheuser-Busch lithograph that hung on the pool room wall in Red Lodge. "He just had a great ability to get himself in and out of trouble," his grandfather went on. "And on the Little Bighorn, he got into it, but he couldn't get out. Now, Phil Sheridan was an intelligent man, and so was Jeb Stuart. But John Mosby was the finest cavalry leader that ever lived."
He had a letter in his things in the trunk at Missoula, from General Phil Sheridan to old Killy the Horse Kilpatrick, that said his grandfather was a finer leader of irregular cavalry than John Mosby. "I ought to tell Goltz about my grandfather," he thought. "He wouldn't ever have heard of him, though. He probably never even heard of John Mosby." The British all had heard of them, though, because they had to study our Civil War much more than people did on the continent. Kharkov said after this was over, I could go to the Lenin Institute in Moscow if I wanted to. He said I could go to the Military Academy of the Red Army if I wanted to do that. I wonder what Grandfather would think of that. Grandfather, who never knowingly sat at table with a Democrat in his life. Well, I don't want to be a soldier, he thought. I know that, so that's out. I just want us to win this war. I guess really good soldiers are really good at very little else, he thought. That's obviously untrue. Look at Napoleon and Wellington. You're very stupid this evening, he thought. Usually his mind was very good company, and tonight it had been when he thought about his grandfather. Then thinking of his father had thrown him off. He understood his father, and he forgave him everything, and he pitied him, but he was ashamed of him. You better not think at all, he told himself. Soon you will be with Maria, and you won't have to think. That's the best way, now that everything has worked out. When you have been concentrating so hard on something you can't stop, and your brain gets to racing like a flywheel with the weight gone, you better just not think. But just suppose, he thought, just suppose that when the planes unload, they smash those anti-tank guns and just blow hell out of the positions, and the old tanks roll good up whatever hill it is for once, and old Goltz boots that bunch of drunks, clochards, bums, fanatics, and heroes that make up the 14th Brigade ahead of him. And I know how good Durand's people are in Goltz's other brigade, and we are in Segovia tomorrow night. Yes. Just suppose, he said to himself. I'll settle for La Granja, he told himself. But you are going to have to blow that bridge, he suddenly knew absolutely. There won't be any calling off. Because the way you have just been supposing there for a minute is how the possibilities of that attack look to those who have ordered it. Yes, you will have to blow the bridge, he knew truly. Whatever happens to Andres doesn't matter. Coming down the trail there in the dark, alone with the good feeling that everything that had to be done was over for the next 4 hours, and with the confidence that had come from thinking back to concrete things, the knowledge that he would surely have to blow the bridge came to him almost with comfort. The uncertainty, the enlargement of the feeling of being uncertain, as when, through a misunderstanding of possible dates, one does not know whether the guests are really coming to a party, that had been with him ever since he had dispatched Andres with the report to Goltz, had all dropped from him now. He was sure now that the festival would not be canceled. It's much better to be sure, he thought. It's always much better to be sure.